just west of Burger King.
KFYO 709 with
the Munsters.
Well, I think it's only fitting that.
Oh, whoa.
No offense, Mayor.
Maybe that's a step up from Sesame Street.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I was expecting the mayor to chime in and say, "You rang."
What was it? Was that the Munsters? That's the Munsters. Yeah.
Well, actually, the
that was the wrong Lurch, show. The yeah, Addams Family.
Yeah, the Lurch was the Addams Family. Yeah. I just, you know.
Come on, know your scary, funny TV shows.
You know, I think I've just been compared to Lurch.
It's all in the family.
Just take it as a compliment.
Yes, yeah, that could be an upgrade.
At least you know you're not the anonymous hand called Thing. You know, that opens the box and pops up around the house everywhere.
You know, this is a much more better subject than where I'm afraid we're going to end.
Okay, city council meeting last night. I was cut short. I got up to go make some popcorn, came back, and you know, it was over.
You know, we got done about 5 minutes after 9 last night. We postponed one item, but council behaved themselves a little better last night, and we didn't have quite the displays of posturing that we've been seeing, so it was good to get out of there at a decent time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's go ahead and we'll talk about Mr. McDonald and what's going on with all that, because, you know, he's serving as the magistrate, making $20,000. I guess that's city pay.
Correct.
And he is an attorney, but he's also a magistrate. What is the function of a magistrate?
He was a night magistrate over at municipal court. It's if they bring somebody in the evening, they've got to have a magistrate. It's just another word for judge. And they've got to have one there during the evening hours. So he performs that duty and is paid a part-time salary for doing
that. Now, I'm just curious about this. When you say kind of like a judge, is a magistrate somebody who like works in issues and signs off on warrants or?
Well, you know, you're going to have somebody in there if you're booking somebody, I believe, in or out of the jail. It's just you've got to have an officer of the court down there. And there's 7 or 8 of them, I believe, attorneys in town that act as night magistrates for municipal court. And he happens to be one of them.
Okay. Well, that's not a bad part-time job, you know, 20 grand. You know, for working nights?
No, but the problem came in because you can't be on the utility board.
Correct.
And be a city employee.
By charter, and not just a city employee. You can't have contract with the city, be being paid by the city or any of that. And you know what it really boils down to is Mr. McDonald misrepresented himself when he filled out his application. He did not disclose that he was a magistrate on the line that asked if he was receiving any benefits or pay from the city. And when the city attorney undercovered this and found out that he was a magistrate, tried to work with Mr. McDonald, tried to work with the LPNL board, got nowhere with them, gave Mr. McDonald the choice last week, said, you know, Dwight, we're to the point where you either got to resign or I'm going to have to put it on the agenda, to which Mr. McDonald replied, put it on the agenda. So it ended up on the agenda, and Mr. McDonald is no longer a member of the EUB.
In that scenario, do these people, and I'm just kind of curious, are their offices virtual on the EUB? Do they have offices where they crash and land over there or what?
It's a 2-year term, and they're, eligible for reappointment for a total of 4 consecutive terms, and then they have to rotate off that board. The problem we're into now is once you're appointed, it's a 8-year appointment, and I don't think councils, including this one, have not done a good job of reviewing those appointees and making sure that when it comes time to reappoint them, that A, they're either still qualified or B, they're doing a good job.
Relatively speaking, a lot of the attention is directed back to Carol McDonald and Mark McDougall and their relationships with the municipality. Are there similarities and differences? I mean, I know you may not be able to speak on this or not, but tell me what you can.
Well, the main difference is the city attorney has not come to the city council and told us that either one of those are not eligible to serve. That's what happened in the case of Mr. McDonald. So once your city attorney gives you his opinion that somebody's not eligible, we as a council, I think, have no choice. I don't know. Both of those were appointed by previous councils. I do know that Sam Medina, the city attorney, has said now that questions have been raised, he will look at the situation with both of those gentlemen. He kind of alluded last night that there may be a third or even a fourth one. No names were made mentioned, but said that he would be at least looking into all these other possibilities and would be reporting back to the council.
Okay, that being said, if you have all these ineligible board members helping to make decisions for Lubbock Power and Light and such, and with everything else that has not gone right or gone their way, that's kind of like walking through the backyard after it rains and you got three dogs and you haven't picked up after them for about four weeks.
You know, the mental images I get on this show
are
great.
Yeah.
No, but I'm serious. I mean, the thing is isn't that going to be a public relations nightmare if we have people that are unqualified that have been making decisions on the board?
Well, and you know, that's one of the, I guess one of the points that, you know, of course I differ with the board and a lot of the admin over at LPNL. I think we've got to quit worrying about public relations when we're talking about a department of the city. We
right.
keep thinking this is a business. Now, we need to operate it as close to a business as we can, but it's a department of the city. It's a utility department of the city, and we just need to provide the best service, the most reliable service at the best cost we can, and customer service will improve automatically.
Okay,
I did want to give you a chance to respond to Mr. McDonald saying that Medina bringing all this to light was a coincidence after he had been on a radio program contradicting things that you had said regarding LPNL.
You know, I never heard the radio program that Mr. McDonald is talking about. This is just an extension of a combative attitude that we've had for quite a while over there. You know, this was parting shots by a gentleman that was ineligible to serve. He failed to disclose that on his application. And on his way out, instead of saying, you know, and this is just like the rate increase, instead of saying, you know what, I screwed up, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, we're going to start pointing blame. And there's no point in that. When this needs to be put behind us. Mr. McDonald is not eligible to serve. He's no longer serving. So I think it's a dead issue now.
Okay, Mayor Glenn Robertson, it's 7:16. We'll be back the morning after. Tom and Laura, on Friday, welcome to the weekend. Yes, it's the morning after with the mayor, Glenn Robertson, in the house. Hey, man, could you do me a favor?
Probably not.
Could you take the stack of invoices over to the city and drop those in the mail for me?
I don't think I'm going to cross that line, but thanks for asking.
Yeah, you can't blame a guy for trying, but so where is the city mailbox? Is there a way that I could just kind of, as a matter of practice, just covertly kind of go over there and
we bring you our mail?
Mail and let you guys postmark it for us? I mean, after all, we're paying for it anyway. I mean, I feel like I am entitled.
Oh, my goodness.
I think entitled is the key word.
Okay. Now, what is this all about? I mean, I understand how this went down. What's actually happening on this? Because I know basically the Sandstorm Scholar on Facebook had broke this or actually published this yesterday, I think about 2:38 in the afternoon. What had happened, I guess, was there was a photograph of an envelope that was mailed to a lady from Victor Hernandez to a citizen, and the return address on it was his law office.
Correct.
Okay, now, then a photograph was also taken of the same envelope that had been postmarked using the mail service that the city uses.
Correct.
Okay, so basically what that kind of smells like is we're paying for his personal mail. I mean, that's the allegation, or that's the focus of the investigation.
You know, what happened is I had an employee come into my office all upset saying that there was an envelope in the outgoing mailbox that Councilman Hernandez had put up there from his law firm. And she didn't know what to do about it. Most of the employees on the second floor of City Hall are scared of Mr. Hernandez because of past issues. So she was very concerned, didn't know what to do, worried that if she said anything to anybody, she'd lose her job. Quite frankly, just scared to death. So I said, don't worry about it. I'll handle it. I went up, took a picture of the envelope with my phone, tried to get hold of Judge Medina. He was out of the office, so I sent him an email. Copied it to the city manager saying, here is a envelope in the outgoing mailbox. Appears to be from Victor's law office. I don't have any idea what's in it. It may be city business. Please investigate, and if you need, take action. And it felt like I had done all I needed to do. Sam did report back to me that he talked with Victor, and Victor said that he had never sent anything from his law office through the mail, so we thought it was over. Then I started getting calls from James Clark, who used to work for one of the local TV stations, who's now doing some work, I guess, with the gentleman that has Sandstorm Scholar. And they started doing open records requests, and it really kind of turned into a little of a battle between myself and Scott Mann. I didn't think it was appropriate to release an email that I'd sent the city manager and the city attorney. But once Mr. Mann accused us of having an official cover-up, I decided, well, I'll release the email, which I did. And at that point, apparently Mr. Mann and Mr. Clark did some more investigation and talked to the lady, and that's where my understanding is they got the envelope and the picture that shows that it was mailed through the city's postage and that it was to one of Victor's clients.
Wow. So what's the consequence for doing something like that if it is settled on and said, you know what, you did this, you weren't supposed to do this, what's the consequence? Or is there a consequence? Because, you know, let me say this, and just preface before you answer. You know, Victor's a nice enough guy, I guess. But the one thing that I don't understand is, you know, more often than not, you know, he's the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, a lot of times he'll do things and say things like this Scott Mann thing, or not Scott Mann thing, the McDonald thing with the EUB. You know, in the paper the other day, he made a statement and said that, you know, there are three choices. You know, you can resign, which I guess he was saying from the EUB. The council can remove him from the EUB, or he can quit as the magistrate. Now, the thing is, if those were his three choices to do what's right, then when Victor was in the last election and ran for city council and his property taxes were in arrears and he owed money, he was not eligible technically to run. So how can he stand there in a glass house and throw the stone? That's what I'm after.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for Victor. And I don't know if this is a one-time occurrence, if it's been going on for years, and I don't think anybody knows that. It's just where we're at.
Well, you know, when you said, did you put your hand in the cookie jar and you say, no, never have, never will, and you did, all I have to say is the fish stinks from the head. We'll be back. Mayor Glenn Robertson. See you in a few. News Talk 790 KFYO 739. Nice on the outside. Chance of rain. Looks like it's brewing. We might get some severe thunderstorms a little bit later on this afternoon, but that would be okay, I guess. Friday Night Lights. Good possibility you might get wet right now. 64 degrees. We're the morning after with the mayor. City council meeting last night.
Can we change that name? That's kind of bothering me.
It's got to be the morning after.
I started that. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
Once it's in there, it just kind of stays.
Yeah, it does, yes. I'm afraid this one's going to stick.
All right. Anyway, you know, we were talking about the, yesterday, Laura and I were talking about the proposal of actually splitting the council meeting from the presentation right. And then the votes. Now, I got up and had to move away from, I was glued to the TV most of the time.
Well, it's riveting.
But anyway, where are we at on that? Because a lot of times, here's the thing, a lot of people were complaining about stuff, and you had this idea, hey, let's move it tonight so people can come. And then so many people started speaking, and then conversations and questions, and, you know, council people are, you know, in discourse with the people that are speaking. And one thing leads to another, and before you know it, you look up, and it's like midnight.
Yeah, and the problem, and we got to the point in that we were asking committees, citizen-appointed committees, to come give reports to us, and they'd show up at 6 o'clock, and they're still sitting there at 10:30 waiting to give us a report. Mm-hmm. The Tornado Task Force is a prime example. We just wrapped up with that. And the head of that, Jay Parchman, asked me, says, Mayor, I want to come do this, but can we please do it on a special called meeting? Because I don't want to present to y'all at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night when you're half asleep and punch drunk. And he's right. I mean, when we stay, because we start meeting at 3.
Is that what's going on up there?
And we get up there.
So there's something in the punch, is that what you're saying?
Well, there could be.
That's
but,
how rumors get
You know, when we get to 11 o'clock at night, we've been
day.
Doing it for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's not for us. It's for the folks that are having to present. Now, I will tell you that the citizens and their comments are not the problem. The problem is this city council. I've got two members that don't know when to shut up. You know, we're going to take, I've literally got two members that if you'll go back and look at the last 5 or 6 meetings, they'll take up 80% of the time of city council meetings. And if we could get back to just taking care of business, quit posturing in front of the cameras, then I don't even think we'll be discussing this. Problem is we're entering in campaign season. So the posturing with the cameras is really going on. And my hopes, I don't think we'll split these meetings. Really never was my intent, but I need to get it on the agenda because I think we need to discuss as a council, what kind of rules do we need to put on ourselves? We limit citizens to 3 minutes when they talk. And yet the same ones that want to limit those citizens to 3 minutes and rigidly enforce it.
Diarrhea.
You know, those want to talk for hours. So I think we need to figure out a way to have a conversation on what do we need to do to limit ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, fair is fair. And right. That's a really good point. The problem that, or the interesting point with all this and what you're saying is the people that are taking up the most time should be the most concise because they have access to more information than everybody else.
Yes, yes. And if they will, they get their agenda books on Friday, almost a week before the council meeting. They've got plenty of time to sit down with staff, ask their questions, make sure that they show up to council meeting prepared and ready. But I will tell you, I don't think it's that they're not showing up prepared. I think it's strictly posturing and politicking for the camera. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we stop that, and it may be...
With advancements in materials and techniques...
7:47... Tom Collins, Laura Mack, and Glenn Robertson after the meeting.
Did we really just go from the Munsters to Led Zeppelin?
We did.
I like that transition.
No, I don't think that was Led Zeppelin. I think that was Iron Butterfly.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Iron Butterfly.
And a guy of the Vita.
And a guy of the Vita.
All right.
I started them again.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this was kind of interesting to hear James Loomis, you know, in the soundbite say, hey, this is embarrassing. Shut your pie hole. He kind of felt like the discussion about the status of his employment and whatnot should have been done behind the closed doors.
Because it's a personnel issue.
Yeah, a personnel issue, which is not to say that people aren't going to know how much that he's making.
Well, they know that's public record anyhow.
Right. So
his point was valid, and the almost humorous part is how it flew over the people's heads that it was directed at. But that's not uncommon up there on the dais. We had discussed all of this at length in executive session. And I do mean at length. It wasn't a short discussion, as we never have.
About appointing him
yes.
as city manager
yes.
as
and everybody,
to acting city
yes,
manager.
After that discussion, and it was held in executive session as it should have been, what you should do is go out front and vote. Because legally we have to vote in open session. But to sit out there and rehash and air all of that nonsense that Mr. Hernandez and Mr. Klein insisted that we rehashed is unprofessional. And I think James Loomis finally said, whoa, that's enough. You know, it's vote or let's move on to another subject with the message that I heard from Mr. Loomis. And I applaud them for having the courage to stand up to this council, especially after he saw what this council did to the last city manager that tried to stand up to him.
I'm floored that you guys could find somebody like Loomis to step in and agree to do that, because the heat like that Leanne had taken in all the fire, and we still, everybody was talking about transparency. We're going to be more transparent. We still don't know what happened. We still fired a city manager without cause.
Correct.
We still don't know why. The people that are upset about it haven't said anything about anything other than what I get is I don't like you. That's all I get out of the whole situation.
Well, you know, and I cannot speak for the four that voted to terminate Ms. Dumball without cause. I'm sure they've got their reasons. I'm not going to, you know, try to put words in their mouth. But, you know, last night got a little ridiculous when we were visiting about Mr. Loomis. The good news is he's now the city manager of the city of Lubbock. The bad news is this courage did not have the courage to discuss his pay and try to pay him accordingly. But we're going to do evaluations in November of all three of the key employees that report to city council, and hopefully we can make things equitable at that point.
Okay. All right. It's 10 minutes before the hour. Had a phone call and lost the line, so hopefully they'll call back. But you're welcome to 770-5790. You got a question or a comment about city council or something that happening around the city of Lubbock. Now, anything else that you'd like to talk about or put out front that you see as a concern to the city right now?
You know, really right now, the main topic we're going to have through the rest of this year is discussions with LPNL on generation. The RFP process has been put out, the request for proposals. There's a bunch of them have came in. They've been through best and final status, and now there's a lot of discussion in executive session where it ought to be, because we are negotiating contracts for power generation. But that's the biggest issue on the table right now, and will be probably for the next 3 to 6 months. Typically, after we get through budget season, which we just finished, things really slow down, and we kind of get a break October, November, and December. And we typically have easier meetings. But I do think the key focus is going to be generation for the city of Lubbock for 2019. And I'm real confident that where we're at now is a good place, and we'll have some good decisions shortly.
All right, 752, Tom Collins, Laura Mack with Mayor Glenn Robertson. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking about the year 2019 and what are we going to do with power. News Talk 790 KFYO 756, Tom and Laura on Friday morning. Welcome to the weekend morning after with Glenn Robertson. Let's go to the phones. Got a call from Randy. Randy, you are on.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. I've got a question for the mayor. I guess currently right we buy all of our electricity from Xcel.
Correct.
But I drove by the there's a small power station over there. I think it's the Cook station over there on Slayton Highway.
Yes, sir.
Does that still produce electricity?
Yes, it does. What we currently do right now, Randy, is we've got the capability of our own generation of about 170 megawatts. In the agreement that we have with Xcel right now, they utilize our current generation, and it's part of the generation that we actually get back from Xcel. So a portion of our electricity that we're getting is generation that we currently own, about 170 megawatts, which is about a third of our total needs.
Okay, so we generate that, sell it to them, and they sell it back to us?
Yes, sir. It's more a pass-through. You know, our contract with them is a wholesale contract that, quite frankly, we're in it. A lot of the reason we're in it is because courts ruled that after 2019, they're going to have to get out of the wholesale power business and only sell retail. So
sure.
It just made sense to put all the generation together and package it together to where we had a very good steady supply, because those plants, we've got, like say, three of them, and they are very old, they're very temperamental, and not as reliable as we would like.
So there would be no consideration about refurbing and adding on to those existing plants?
That's part of the what we're looking at, Randy. We're actually looking at utilizing that 170, it's either 170 or 130, I'd have to go back and check notes, but the capability that we have. We also have an extension of the contract to 2045, where Xcel will sell us an additional about 170 watts. So it's going to reduce the needs that we have by 2019, but we're still going to have those needs. So what's being looked at now is all options, and those options would include refurbishing, adding to current generation, building new generation, or negotiating with somebody to come in and build a plant and us purchase wholesale power from them.
Okay.
Hey Randy, I appreciate your call, man. Great points.
Good questions.
Thank you.
Really good. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Hey, it's 7:59 right now. Thanks for being with us, Mayor.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Randy had some great calls, or great points to his call. But one thing real quickly that I was noticed in an article this last week, statements from the EUB basically saying that we're looking at the wholesale power options to take us, or when we're at 2019. Right. So does that say we're more heavily considering buying wholesale power?
No, I think at this point all options are still on the table. Just trying to get the facts on the table with the board to make a good decision.
Okay. Hey, we'll be back with United Way coming up at about 8:09 right here. Welcome to the weekend. Thanks, Glenn Robertson, for being in the house with us.